Don't you enjoy our praise team? I appreciate all the sacrifice. Amen. Now kids can go ahead and be dismissed. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Kids are going to go ahead and make their way downstairs right now. This is a special service here today, and so we're going to just allow the Holy Spirit to move and direct as He sees fit. We're typically in our series, You Asked For It, and we're going through questions that you guys have given us, and we've been answering these questions for the past 6 to 7 weeks. I thought we had one more week, but Dave tells me we got like 4 more weeks, so we'll exhaust it until the questions stop. But this morning we're going to go ahead and just detour, and if we have time, if the Spirit allows, then we'll go ahead and take a couple questions. But I want to focus our attention this morning on a very important aspect in God's eyes, and that is the family. Amen. Let me just say this about the family. The family is the most important institution on the face of this planet today. It really is. And here's the thing about the family. If the family is set up right and properly, then God works through the family. And so if we keep our attention on what God has called us to do as parents, as fathers, as mothers, even as children, then we'll see the glory of God through our family. Now, Satan understands this. He knows that if he can get to the family, then guess what? He got to the church. And if he can get into the church, then he's got to the state, the nation. And so the problem with the world today all rolls back to the family. The family. Statistically, if you look at kids who have problems and issues as they are growing up in today's society, most of the times the reason they experience what they do is because there is some kind of divide in the family. Divorce, mom and dad, husband and wife, forfeit, throw in the towel, and so it's the kids that suffer, right? It's the kids that suffer. And so this morning we are privileged to be able to focus on responsibility that has been given to parents by God. Here at Grace Church, we don't baptize babies. Let me just go ahead and explain why, because the Bible tells us not to baptize babies. I mean, biblically, if you look at the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, all throughout scriptures, people of God, children of God that were blessed to be able to have kids, they always dedicated those kids to the Lord. All throughout Old Testament, we can see it through Isaac and his son, Abraham with his son Isaac, he dedicated his son to the Lord. And so what that means was, it's more of a dedication on the parents' part, right? To do what they have been called to do and to raise their kids under the Word of God. And I want to just read a couple verses here before we get into this. But Proverbs chapter 22, a very familiar portion of Scripture for us all, verse 6, and the Bible says this, and it's important, and it's very simple and yet hard. And listen to what the Word of God says. Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. The word train up here can also be translated initiate, instruct, and specifically, when you look at the terminology, the word terminology here in Proverbs, the original language paints the idea, and this might sound a little sick, but it's the truth. The same way we are training up a child, the way we are initiating their growth, the way we are instructing them in reference to how to live their lives in the world today, the ideology in this verse is training or herding cattle, if you will. I don't know if you have kids, but if they hit 2 and 3 and 4, you'll feel like you're training or herding, cattle, because they're all over the place all the time. But when I've never herded or tended to cattle, but I've looked at this, and the idea is to lead cattle in the way that they should go. Now, they're not going to go in that way by themselves, and so the idea of corralling cattle, setting up boundaries so that they can follow the narrow path, so to speak. And so, as you can see, with that idea, the idea is the parent setting up these safe havens, these boundaries, if you will, in order to steer their kids where? Into the direction of God. It's as simple as that. And so that's what we do here at Grace Church. We dedicate ourselves as parents in bringing up our children under the nurture and the admonition of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says this. It says to bring them, speaking of children, bring them up in the training and the admonition of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the idea, again, is not you know, it's not the service that we're doing here this morning that puts any kind of emphasis on the child. We're simply, we're looking at this family. The parents have decided in their heart that they want to give specifically call to the Lord. And in fact, they're going to come up here in just a moment, and I asked them to share their story about Cole, because some of you don't realize, you know, Cole was prayed for months before Cole was even conceived. So Cole was given to the Lord before he was even born. Amen. I mean, you'll hear that, and I want to invite them to come up. Some y'all come on up here right now. Parents, family, friends, take as many pictures as you would like. If I'm in the way, just say, Pastor Steve, can you please move? We want to get a shot of the baby and the parents, and I'll do that. But I'm going to allow them to come up and just share some things that God has led on their heart. Lori has wrote some things down. I don't know how long this is going to last. I'm praying for your stability. I know that you may get emotional, but that's okay. We're here, and we want to hear, we just want you to brag on God, if you could do that. So we're turning it over to you.
Thank you. I want to thank everyone for coming out today. I know some of you drove quite a bit to be here for us today. It is appreciated. I need to bring it closer. So I just want to make sure you all know that we do appreciate the sacrifice of driving all the way out here. First, we want to share with you a verse that we chose. We're going to call it a life verse. It's mentioned a few times throughout the Bible. Matthew 16:26, Mark 8:36, and Luke 9:29. All of these verses basically say, what is good? What is good for someone to gain the world but lose their own soul? We are going to use this verse to help Cole navigate through his life. This verse is very special to us, and we want to make sure that Cole does not gain worldly things at the cost of or compromising who he is. There was a point where I had accepted that we were never going to be here like we are right now, a mom and a dad with a baby. So now I just want to briefly share with you our story, our journey, to show you how the Lord works in his children. Samuel 1:27 says, I pray for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I have asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord, for his whole life will be given to the Lord. Like Pastor Steve had mentioned, before Cole was even here, he was something that we had prayed for a very long time, upwards of over 5 years. We had experienced 3 miscarriages and years of fertility treatment, and nothing was working for us. So I had given up. I had given up not hope or not faith, but I had given up control. Even though Clint will still argue I struggle with this, I had for the first time truly turned over to the Lord, not partially, not just in the moment, but honestly had given up control of the stronghold in my life. We were finally blessed with a pregnancy, and that scared us. Due to our history, we were deemed high risk right from the beginning. So we had biweekly doctor's appointments for our whole first trimester. We had more tests and ultrasounds done in these first 12 weeks than some people do their entire pregnancy. We were definitely scared that we were going to lose another baby. So we definitely looked forward to getting to hear his heartbeat and watching him grow in all of these ultrasounds. So we finally made it to 12 weeks. We had never made it this far before, but we were still scared. We trusted in the Lord and finally decided to share with our close friends and family, a day shy of 15 weeks, that the Lord had blessed us with a child. We continued having biweekly appointments. We had 2 scary trips to the ER and ongoing concerns with his kidneys. But towards the end, we spent most of our third trimester going to the doctor twice a week. We had failed stress tests and several worries for him, which led us to the day that Cole was here to finally join us. His birth story is a whole nother sermon, but it was scary, and he is now here with us. This was all part of God's plan, and I had to learn to let it go, and then the Lord blessed us. So now, here we are in front of you, making outward expression of our inward decision that we will raise our son in the way of the Lord. Please keep us in your prayers because this journey is just beginning for us. We will try our best to raise him in the way that he should go. Cole is truly a miracle. He's a gift from above. We have been blessed with a child to love. When I look at Cole's face, we see God's grace. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. State, don't leave you. I know, one more second. We're going to present you. Let me put this down here. That's why I wanted them to share, because what a remarkable story for those of you who were able to be involved in their life during this very hard time. We were able to see God move in a very powerful way, obviously. And so we don't believe that's coincidence. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe that's the importance of the church. And so we celebrate with you. And she's so cute. You're looking at me like, what's she doing talking about me? We celebrate the birth and the arrival of Cole. And I appreciate, you know, your commitment to raise him up the way that God has called us to raise our kids up. So I'm going to pray. We're going to present you with, Cole's going to get his first official New Testament little Bible, so we'll give you that.
Thank you.
This is a dedication certificate to put in your keepsake if you're into that. It just simply says, baby dedication. This certifies that Cole Ray Stevens was dedicated to God at Grace Church on the 20th of March, 2016. Mother Lori Stevens, Father Clint Stevens, Minister Stephen Keith, and at this time we're going to go ahead and pray over him, and I'm going to pray over you too as well. Chrissy and Heather, would you come up here and just kind of put your hands around them, on them, and let's just go ahead and lift this family up to the Lord. Yeah, no, let me get you one, brother. You're good. All right. God, thank you for Clint and Lori and the relationship that they have with you. God, I appreciate the fact that, God, you have used them just to show us the demonstration of faith. God, we thank you for working miracles and opening up doors that seem closed. And God, we believe in the power of prayer. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with the decision of the parents this morning and empower them, Lord, to raise Cole up in the way that you would have him to go. We give Cole to you. We pray that you would use Cole for your gospel's sake, to reach lost people for you, and that you would just shine through him as only you can. We love you. We appreciate this family. We pray that this family would continue for your purpose and for your cause. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said together, amen. Amen. Give them a hand, y'all. Good stuff, guys. Amen. That's good stuff. All right, so we have time. So I guess we're going to be speaking on some questions. Real quick, anyone who is interested in dedicating babies, all you have to do is come talk to me. But again, remember, it is more of the parents' responsibility more than it is the preacher and or the child's, because we are training them up under his rules and wisdom. So let's go ahead and, can you turn me down a little bit? I feel like I'm echoing, and so, yeah, thank you. We're going to go ahead and talk a bit about a few questions, and the reason, I think it's not, again, coincidence that we're going to just touch on a couple of these questions, but we're going to talk about salvation real quick, and I don't think it's, again, coincidental that we're talking about child dedication and raising our kids up under the law and the rule of God, with hopes and anticipation that one day they would confess who they are, sinners, right, and accept Christ into their heart. And so that's our purpose. We have a category on some of these questions, and I want to go ahead and just ask for your forgiveness if I don't answer it immediately, but I'm going to try to the best of my knowledge. Here's the first question in the gospel section. How can a God so righteous and so perfect forgive us? How can a God who is so righteous and so perfect forgive us? If you're here today and you haven't figured out that you're broken, that sometimes your life is a mess, that sometimes you need help and you don't have all the answers, that's okay, because we're all there, amen? And the great news about God is that God loved us so much, and it's found in the simple verse, John 3:16, that he loved us so much that he gave his one and his only son, Jesus, himself in human form, right? So that he could redeem sinners back unto himself. Somebody said, well, how do we become sinners? Look, it's all right here in the book that we believe in. The Bible states that because of one man's sin, Adam, we understand from the beginning, sin was conceived when Adam and Eve disobeyed the rule of God, right? And did what was right in their own eyes. And when they did that, that sin inheritance was transferred to all of us. So even Cole, as perfect as he is and as flawless as he looks, he has a sin nature. Right, Lori? Right? Y'all know. I mean, try to get your kid to go to sleep at night. So we try to teach our kids right. They know how to do wrong. Amen. If you don't believe that, have some babies and see. They know how to do wrong. So how can God save? You know, how, in His state, in Him being so far exalted, how? The only word that comes to my mind is grace. Again, we go back to that word grace. Grace is something that is not necessarily deserved. It's undeserving. And it's God's favor upon mankind. It's God's grace. Again, last week we said this. Grace, God's riches, right? At Christ's expense. We get to experience the riches of God. Salvation in Him. Home with Him in heaven forever. Why? Because of the sacrifice that He made for us. And all we have to do to receive that gift is to believe. It's to believe and to step out in faith and to trust that His grace is sufficient in our lives. I don't know about you, but being a good person is not enough. You can try your hardest to be a good person, but you will fall short. And if it's about going to heaven because of our good works, well, good Lord, every one of us will fall short at some point in our life. So how can a God who's so righteous extend grace or, you know, forgive us? Grace again. Okay, number two. How did Jesus dying on the cross help all of us to be living today? How did Jesus dying on the cross help all of us to be able to live today? I guess that's the question. We believe that the Bible teaches that when Christ was crucified, we believe that He was buried, and that's biblical facts. But the greatest thing about Christianity and the most powerful miracle that we've experienced is the life-offering way that God gives us, and it's all because of His resurrection, amen? As a matter of fact, it's coming up this Easter, is it next Sunday? Next Sunday's Easter? Easter's why we celebrate the power of living. Because of the fact that Christ conquered death, we conquer death in Him. So when we're in Christ, everything that Christ has accomplished, we have accomplished. And again, it's not because of us, it's because of Him, but He grants that to us because of the fact that we are sons and daughters of God. And so, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, if He hadn't raised again after the third day, there would be no life. There would be no hope. And so we bank on the resurrection, and that resurrection, that Him, you know, bringing Himself back from dead to life, and being alive today is the reason that we experience life everlasting, but not only that, the abundant life that we have here and now. And so I hope I answered that question. Pastor Steve mentioned God forgives our sins, but is there a limit? This is a good question. Example, if you commit the same sin over and over and over and over, and you continue to ask for forgiveness over and over and over and over, will He still forgive us? I think this kind of falls into the category of what Paul mentions in the Bible about grace and not using grace as a license to sin. And so here's the idea. We understand that God is gracious and that He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. That's what the Bible says. But we also have to understand that just because He forgives doesn't give us the motivation and the idea that we can do whatever we want because God's going to forgive us. Right? Paul says that. Paul says, the things that I do want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I do. So he had the He had this problem, and it's the same problem that we have. And so I deal with this. I think every one of us deal with this. You know, some specific sin that we struggle with, and we ask God to help us with it. We find ourselves reverting back to the same thing that we've already done, knowing it's not the right thing. But here's the thing. Each and every time that we come back to God with the right heart, and here's the key, it's all about the heart. It's not about getting caught and asking for forgiveness. It's about being affected from the heart, knowing that what you're doing is not honoring to God, And so here's the thing. Yes, I believe God will forgive you over and over and over again. His grace is unlimited. His grace is never ending. It will continue on forever. But again, you have to understand that, you know, has anybody else dealt with this? That one thing that you feel like you just can't get away from. There's grace and there's mercy in that thing and there's power. You are able to, in Christ, get through whatever it is that you're getting through in reference to that sin. And here's the thing, when you finally, because I remember there's times in my life where I was like, God, this sin. And I finally felt like I got a hold, or at least got myself back where I needed to be. And then guess what? After I figured that one out, there was another one. So it's going to be continual, right? And so we have to understand that. So just remember this, grace is not a license to sin and sin and sin and do what you want to do. It is an opportunity for us to receive forgiveness, to get back up onto our firm foundation in Christ, and to stay the course that he has set us on. All right. What time is it? 5 more minutes. Okay. Okay, here's a good question again. Why can't I seem to understand or accept the Lord? Why can't I seem to understand or accept the Lord? Here's the thing. The Bible is clear about this. Unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, not religion, not coming to church, not doing good stuff for your neighbor, having a personal relationship, and there's only one way you can do that, right? It's confessing who you are and acknowledging who he is. But here's the thing. The Bible says that people who haven't been saved from their sins, that scriptures and things that pertain to God are complete nonsense to people who are not believers. It doesn't make sense. And so here's the thing. The Spirit of God has the ability to convict lost people. I believe that. That's the Spirit of God's job. We give truth, and the Spirit of God will convict, and that's a power in and amongst himself. We can't make people accept God, believe in God, do what God says. God's the only one that can do that, right? So what we do is we pray for those people. But one of the things that I've experienced, people who just seem not to get it, because here's the thing, the gospel is a simple message. It's so simple that children are able to understand, comprehend it, and walk out in faith to accept it. The older we get, the harder it is, right? To display faith or to trust something that doesn't necessarily seem logical. So one of the things I see a lot is as we are getting the message of life to people, as we're presenting the gospel to them, as we're giving them the answer, you know, on how they could live forever in eternity and have the answers that they need here and now, until salvation takes root, it's not going to make sense. And I think sometimes it's frustrating to people that are communicating the gospel to a person who doesn't know God, doesn't believe God, doesn't understand all the things that we're talking about. It's frustrating to the person giving it because we think, what in the world is going on? And here's the thing. Again, we can't open their heart. So what we do is we give them the gospel, we give them the truth, and we pray that God would do what only he can do in their heart. And so a lot of times when you're first initially giving people the gospel that they've never heard before, it does not make sense. It's going to go, phew, phew. And finally, we pray that God would just allow that gospel to prick their heart, to penetrate their heart, and to open up that heart so that they can receive salvation. The reason, I think, a lot of people don't seem to understand or accept the Lord is because they won't step out in faith. They want to explain or understand things that maybe they can't understand, and faith is not anything, has nothing to do with that type. Remember what faith is? It's something, what did I say? Something that seems only logical in reverse. I forget how that went. I said it last week, but I don't have it written down here. But anyway, okay, so faith. And here's another thing. Maybe we are saved. Maybe we have a relationship with God, but we still feel like we can't hear God. And I would just simply say to you, what does your personal one-on-one walk with God look like? Are you communicating to him every day? Are you happy? Are you appreciative of the life that he's given you? And are you using that life for his honor and his glory? Okay. Oh, man, I think I'm going to wait on this one. Yeah. This is you, Webb. Where's that girl, Webb, at? This is your question, I think. So we're going to wait on this till next, because this is, yeah. I'll read the question and we'll answer it next week, okay? And then we'll go ahead and we'll close the service for this morning. But here's the question. So what happens to the people that don't have the education of Jesus? They have not been given the gospel. They haven't heard the story of Jesus dying for their sins. And it continues on. It says, I don't believe Jesus would damn all of them or cause all of them to go to hell because there are so many. So why would God allow somebody to go to hell who hasn't heard the gospel? And it continues, it says, it's not their fault. Or is it not their fault, or is it their fault? So are they all doomed, or are they considered sand falling in the cracks? I can't read real well. Are they considered innocent? And I'm not just talking about children. Okay, so basically the question is, in the grand scheme of life, we're not answering this right now. Come back next Sunday and we'll talk about that. All right, let's go ahead and stand to our feet, guys. Again, I want to say thank you so much to Clint and Lori. Lori and Clint, if you don't mind, would you go ahead and make your way back to the back, towards the back doors? And as you are leaving, pat them on the back, give them a hug, encourage them for the decision that they made here this morning. And again, if you're here this morning and you have children, the responsibility, again, is ours, right? Don't lay it on the kid. It's not their responsibility. It's our responsibility to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word, for truth, for people who are just motivated to dedicate their lives to you. Thank you for Lori and Clint, Lord, and thank you for baby Cole, Lord. Thank you for giving us this precious child, Lord. Thank you for allowing him just to be born into this world, Lord. We give him to you this morning, God. We pray that you would use him as any way you feel fit, Lord. Just use him in your kingdom's purpose. Use him for your glory. And God, help us to raise him up in a way that people would see him or see you in him and all that he did. Thank you for the visitors that have been here this morning. We pray that, God, that they have good understanding of what was done here and why it was done. And God, we pray for the salvation of every heart represented here right now. If someone's here, Lord, and they don't know you personally, help them to know, Lord, it's not about good works. It's not about anything else other than a personal relationship with a real God. And God, we thank you for your sacrifice so that we could have life. And Lord, we pray that you would give us life even now as we leave these doors to be the church that you've called us to be. It's not just on Sundays, but more specifically, it's about who we are Monday through Saturday. Lord, empower us, motivate us to be about your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said, amen. Have a great week. Come back next week.